Let's all stand out of reverence for God's word. And let's see how Joseph found his courage. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. This is God's word. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Not a fairy tale, not a romantic myth, the truest truth you'll ever hear. The Creator became one clothed in human flesh, so that we, the fallen creation, might know the love of our Creator once more. May God bless the hearing and teaching of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. And dear sheep of the living God, this is God's word, and he gave it to us because he loves us. And he longs for us to be people of fortitude and courage. Let's pray. And so, Holy Spirit, we need you. We are a fearful people. Help us to face our fears by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. We've said repeatedly during the season, Advent is a celebration of the incarnation, and it is an anticipation of the culmination or the consummation of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the rule and reign of grace, making all things new, was inaugurated with the birth of Christ. It will be culminated or consummated with the return of Christ. And in the in-between, the kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven, through culture and in our hearts as we grow more and more in grace. In the meantime, however, as we wait for the day when there will no longer be any fear, we're called to face our fears, and we have many, do we not? There's a fear wall as you go through this center exit where people in chalk have written down their fears. I hope you've had a chance to look at it, but here are some of them. What do you fear? Being alone, rejection, losing a loved one, our nation's future, not having what it takes, losing hope, not being seen, pain, being bored with life, lack of direction, FOMO, fear of missing out, failure, letting others down, becoming irrelevant or insignificant as we age, not being married, having a bad marriage, not having children, having wayward children, and on and on and on. We are a fearful people. It's the result of the fall. Fear results from sin. What are you afraid of this Christmas? Where is God calling you to exercise courage? Where is he calling you to develop the cardinal virtue of fortitude? Let's learn this morning how to acknowledge our fears, saddle up, and ride on. First of all, boost your courage through stillness. Look at verse 18. Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. That's what the angel had told Mary. Now, listen, you need to put yourself in the text. You know, quit making this into some kind of comic book or novel. Put yourself in the text. This really happened. Joseph and Mary were in love. They were betrothed. In other words, for the relationship to end at this point, Joseph would have to get a divorce. And Joseph didn't just wake up one morning and go, "You're pregnant?" They were communicating. They were talking. When the angel visited Mary, the first thing she did was run to Joseph and say, "Joseph, you're not going to believe this, but I'm pregnant." "Oh, but relax. It's supernatural, and what is conceived in me is the Son of God, and it was conceived by the Holy Spirit." And Joseph's like, "Right." Okay, again, people, you gotta put yourself, this is history. This really happened. And never in the history of humanity had there been a virgin who had never been with a person. And God, by His Spirit, conceived a human being in that virgin. This had never happened before. And so when Joseph heard that, he thought, "Mary is nuts." In verse 19, we learn that Joseph was a just man. He was a godly man. He was not willing to compromise. He wanted to do that which was godly and right and true. But also, he was unwilling to put her to shame. He was a compassionate man. And so Joseph, faced with Mary's pregnancy, was filled with fear. How do we know that? Because the angel in verse 20 says, "Do not fear." Now, why would the angel say, "Do not fear," unless, in fact, Joseph was afraid? What was he afraid of? He was afraid of what people would think. He was afraid of disappointing God. He was afraid of condoning sin. He was a just man, but he was also afraid of shaming Mary. He was afraid of not being compassionate. And all those fears were gripping his soul. And so what did he do? In his fear, he reacted. How often we do that. We react in our fear. Verse 20. He resolved to quietly divorce her. As he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. See, we can tell Joseph is simply reacting in his fears because it took God sending an angel to slow things down. To say, "Hey, things are not as they seem." By the way, do you need to hear that this morning? Slow down. Things are not as they may appear. And the angel says, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife." See, Joseph, in the midst of his fear, he actually thinks he's reacting properly. He actually thinks he's reacting wisely. He actually thinks he's reacting justly and compassionately. And he's way, way, way off. And when we react out of our fears, we will be way, way off as well. I will tell you, the greatest mistakes I've made as a dad is when I've parented out of fear. The greatest mistakes I've made as a pastor was leading out of fear. And the greatest mistakes of your life, I promise you, will be from decisions you make and actions you take that are from the energy of fear and not faith. It's like a friend has explained to me, he looks at life with three letters, S-P-R. Stimulus, I'm not going to tell you what the P is, and R, I'm not going to tell you what that is, because most of us tend to look at life as S-R, a fearful stimulus, and we react. Stimulus, react. The angel comes to slow Joseph down, says, "Look, I know you got a fearful stimulus. P, pause, get still.
Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And in the midst of the stillness, when you're not reacting out of fear, now R, respond. Not SR, stimulus, react, but SPR, stimulus, pause, get still, slow down, and then respond out of faith. I think I told some of you a couple months ago now, I was on my way to a discipleship group. I was going down 119 and bam! I got a deer head right in the side of my face. A deer. A deer's head is pressed against the window. Messed up my glasses there. Of my car. It had been spooked. And it didn't know SPR. It reacted and ran right in the side of my car. Thousands of dollars of damage. And I thought, how like that deer we often are. Stimulus, we're spooked. And we react. And we run into sides of cars. Right? Not literally, but metaphorically, do not we do that? Joseph was going to do that. And God sent the angel and said, be still and know that I am God. See, what we learn and what Joseph learns is there was actually no relationship at all between reality and Joseph's fears. There was absolutely no reality at all between reality and Joseph's fears. And 99% of our fears have no relationship to reality at all. And the longer we're alive, the more we realize that's true. Most of the things I've been afraid of have never happened. I've been afraid of snakes for 57 years. Not been bitten by one yet. Where do you need to seek stillness in the midst of your fears in order to find fortitude, courage? Secondly, boost your courage through Scripture. Look at verse 20. The angel appeared saying. That's a key word. The angel appeared saying, speaking. The angel is the messenger of the word of God to Joseph. And when we're afraid, we need to slow down and go to the Scriptures to hear the word of God. See, God's rarely going to speak to us in a dream anymore. He's rarely going to send an angel, although he could very well do that. But we have something more sure, more certain, and more readily available. You don't have to wait around for a dream. We have this book. This book, the Scriptures, is the very word of God. And everything we need for life and godliness and fortitude and facing fears and courage, it's all in this book. And all we need to do is avail ourselves of it. That's why the Scriptures were given. Romans 15, verse 4, that through the encouragement of the Scriptures, you might have hope. You know what encouragement means? It means to put courage into the heart. Through the Scriptures, we might have encouragement. Fortitude might be placed into our very souls through the Scriptures. This word is supernatural. There's no other book like it in the universe. The words are living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and they can grant you. They can instill in you. They can inflame in you fortitude and courage. So Scripture boosts courage in four ways in this passage. Real quickly, let me give them to you. First of all, Scripture boosts courage by reminding us of our identity as children of God. Look at verse 20. The angel appeared to Joseph saying, son of David. You know, so often when we're afraid, we don't think God has our backs. We think things are careening out of control. The angel says to Joseph, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. And every time you get into Scripture, God is going to remind you of your identity, who you are and whose you are. See, Joseph needed to be reminded, you're the son of David. There was a history behind that name. You are part of a larger, longer story. See, when we're afraid, we tend to react out of a word in our story, or out of a clause in our story, or out of a phrase in our story, or out of a sentence in our story, or out of a paragraph in our story, or out of a chapter in our story. And God is writing a larger, longer story. And we cannot react in fear to the words and clauses and sentences and paragraphs and chapters. Instead, Scripture reminds us of who we are. We're loved by God. He is for us. And we can trust Him and saddle up. Secondly, Scripture boosts courage by giving us clear direction. Look at verse 20. Do not fear, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In other words, hey, Joseph, guess what? Mary was telling the truth. See, sometimes we're fearful because we lack direction. God's word gives us wisdom, gives us counsel, gives us direction. See, lies fuel our fears, and fears magnify lies. But truth douses the flames of fear. Get into Scripture. Thirdly, Scripture boosts courage through giving us strong conviction. Courage comes through conviction. Look at verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. The Bible is amazing, if for no other reason, the prophecies. Just dozens and dozens of prophecies, hundreds of years before the events, pointing to the supernatural nature of this book. You can trust the words of this book. You can trust the truths of this book. It contains prophecy that has been fulfilled. And with conviction of truth comes courage. And then fourthly, Scripture boosts courage by giving us promises. Look at verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. All through the Bible, there are thousands of promises of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness, of God's presence. And when we're in the midst of being gripped by fear, we need to be washed afresh by the promises of Scripture. We're going to give everybody a gift this morning. Well, not everybody, every household. If you're single, you get one. If you have a household of seven, you get one. Okay? There won't be enough to go around. Okay? We are giving this as a gift. This is called the Blue Book. What we found is, though there are so many ways Scripture boosts courage, we're not in the Scriptures. And so that's why we're fearful. This book is a book we're going to go through together as an entire congregation for the next 12 months. Beginning January 8th, I'm going to preach on the theme of the first week. It's broken down into 56 weeks. I don't know why 56. I know there's only 52 weeks, but there's 56 weeks. And I'm going to set the table for all of us on Sunday, January 8th. On Monday, January 9th, we're all going to begin this devotional. It's a beautiful, planned devotional. Most people fail because they fail to plan. This is a plan. It's beautiful. It's doable. And it's something we can do together. Now, if you need more than one book per household, by the way, if you've taken more than one book per household on the way in, you need to drop one of those off on the way out, okay? But you can also order more of these. Amazon.com has them, the Blue Book by Jim Branch. They're also available in Kindle format, if you'd rather have that. Now, we won't be able to pay for that one, but you can get Kindle. The point is, one of the reasons why we're gripped by fear is because we're not gripped by Scripture. You want to see God develop fortitude and courage in your life? Get in the Word of God. And then thirdly and finally, quickly, boost your courage through saddling up. There's no other way around it. You saddle up by saddling up. Look at verse 24. When Joseph awoke, he did. You get that? Not rocket science. When Joseph awoke, he did.
When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel had commanded him. Part of growing in courage, part of developing fortitude, is simply choosing in the face of fear to do the next right thing. Now, it's not sola bootstrapsa. It's not pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. This is assuming that we're getting still before the Lord. We're seeking grace. We're in the Word. We're being washed by the Spirit. And now, as we've been still and we're not reacting, we've got a response from God. Now we act. The Christian is not called to a comfortable lifestyle, folks. It's one of the things that irks me about the political climate in our country. Christians, it's not about us being comfortable. It's not about getting a leader in there that's going to make life great for Christians. That's a whole other sermon. I'm not going to go there. Okay? The Christian life, we're not called to be comfortable. We're called to break comfort barriers all the time. And the more we wait before saddling up to break comfort zones, the smaller those zones are going to become. Did you hear me on that? The longer you wait to saddle up in the face of fear to break a comfort zone, the more that comfort zone is going to shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink until eventually you'll become afraid of everything. One of the ways we break out of our fears is to face them and saddle up. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's saddling up in the midst of fear anyway. Courage builds one step at a time. He did as the Lord commanded him. You ever notice that? We're called to confess fear. And we're commanded to be courageous. That tells me it's not a feeling. That tells me it's not an experience. That tells me, like Joshua was told, be strong and courageous. It's a choice. It's a grace. Please hear me. You guys know me better. I'm not telling you to get your act together. I'm telling you to believe the gospel's true. And Jesus is not embarrassed by our fears. Jesus can handle them. All he wants us to do is accept them and acknowledge them and bring them to the cross. Because look at verse 21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, including fear. Your fears will not disappear in this life. If you think that's the Christian life, I want to break it to you gently. That's not going to happen. Courage is not the lack of fear. It's saddling up in the midst of fear and riding on.